Does God sometimes intentionally mislead us? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
God says over and over, don't worry, I'll take care of you. But yet we worry and we say to God with our worry, Lord, I don't believe that you're going to take care of me. We call God a liar. It's a very serious thing to call God a liar. You and I don't like it when we tell someone the truth and they call us a liar. God doesn't like it either.
Wow, those are some difficult words to hear, aren't they? Maybe you never voiced it out loud or in your mind that you think God is not completely truthful. I mean, frankly, it just hurts to even imply that. But here's the question we all must answer honestly. Are our actions guilty of suggesting that God is not telling the truth? What might seem like harmless worrying, even over the little details of our lives, in effect is saying God is not being truthful when he says that he will provide for his children. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today, he'll not be blamed for soft peddling the truth. The lesson is straightforward, and it's called Calling God a Liar, The Peril of Unbelief. The message today is from Pastor Jeff's series, Believing God, Expecting Miracles. And we're featuring this series this month. You can find out more about it and listen to messages you may have missed when you go to fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's begin the message, Calling God a Liar. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
Well, I heard a story about a police officer. He caught a man speeding, and he pulled him over. And he asked the man, he said, let me see your license. The man said to him, I don't have a license. They took it away after my fifth DUI. He said, well, let me see the vehicle registration. He said, I can't show that to you. This isn't my car. I stole it. He said, you stole the car. He said, I stole the car. He said, but I think I saw the vehicle registration in the glove box when I put my gun in there after I shot and killed the woman that owns the car. He said, there's a gun in the glove box. He said, yeah. He said, I shot and killed the woman that owned the car. I stuffed her body in the trunk. He said, there's a body in the trunk. He said, yes. The man freaked out. The officer freaked out. He calls his captain. Says, I got a hot one here. I need some backup. So the captain came and some other officers. Officer tells him the story. The captain goes to the car and he said, sir, may I see your license? He said, certainly. Shows him his license. He said, is this your car? He said, of course it's my car. Let me show you the registration. He said, is there a gun in the glove box? He said, a gun in the glove box? Of course not. Look in the glove box. There's no gun in here. He said, do you have a body in the trunk? He said, a body in the trunk? Well, of course not. Go check for yourself. He looks, no body. He says, I don't understand it. He said, my officer said to me that you told him that you stole this car. This isn't your car. You don't have a license. That you shot and killed the woman who owns the car and you stuffed her body in the trunk. The man looked at him and he said, what a liar. I bet he told you I was speeding too. Have you ever told the truth and had someone call you a liar? I mean, has that ever happened to you? You tell the truth, you say, hey, this situation happened, this event happened, and it's the God's honest truth, and someone stands up and says, you are lying. Man, that just does something to me. I don't know what it does to you, but it does something to me. Early in my ministry, I had a friend, a good friend, who accused me of something that I did not do. And I told him, I did not do that. And he said, I don't believe you. And by him not believing me, he basically said, you are a liar in this situation. Well, that hurt my feelings, and it made me mad because I was telling him the truth. Now, did you know that when you and I hear from God, We hear his word. We hear his promises. We hear what God says, this is what I will do. And we don't believe it. That we are in effect saying to God, God, I think you are a liar. Anytime you don't believe God, you call God a liar. Peter Lord said this, so true. Said, the things we really believe, we practice. And all the rest is just religious talk. The things you really believe, you practice. And all the rest you don't really believe. You're saying, God, I don't really believe you. Let me give you some examples of practical ways that we don't believe God and we call God a liar by our unbelief, by our walking in doubt and not walking in faith. How many times do we worry about situations? God says over and over, don't worry. I'll take care of you. You're worth much more than many sparrows. I'll take care of you. Do not worry, little flock. But yet we worry and worry and worry, and we say to God with our worry, Lord, I don't believe that you're going to take care of me. We call God a liar. How many times do we not walk according to the way God wants us to walk? How many times do we not listen to what he says, and the Lord says, follow me, and we don't follow? We live for sin. We live for self. We live for pleasure. And see, the Lord says in his word, oh, that my people would listen to me, that they would walk in my ways. If they would just listen to me, I would feed them with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy them. But we say by our actions, I don't believe that, God. I don't believe you'll really provide for me, God, if I go your way. I'm going to make it my own way. You live in unbelief. You call God a liar. How many people listening by television or radio hear the word and the promise of God, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse? And test me now in this, declares the Lord, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so big that you won't even be able to contain it. Yet so very few people take God at his word. So very few people honor the Lord with their wealth and say that the tithe, the 10% belongs to God, and I'm going to give the tithe, and I'm going to give an offering above the tithe, and I'm going to trust God and believe that my 90% with God's blessing goes much further than my 100% without it. Oh, but people say, no, I can't give to the Lord. So they hoard and they hold. And they say by their attitude and by their actions, God, you are a liar. I don't believe you. It's a very serious thing to disbelieve God. It's a very serious thing to call God a liar. You and I don't like it when we tell someone the truth and they call us a liar. God doesn't like it either. And the scripture gives a warning in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. It says this, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Oh, take care. See to it. Watch out. You know why? Because it's easy to develop an unbelieving heart. Did you know that you can be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You can be a born-again Christian. You can believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose again, and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what makes a person a Christian, not going to church or getting baptized or any of those things, but you put your faith and trust in Jesus. You can do that and be, quote-unquote, a believer, but you can be an unbelieving believer. You can be a believer who doesn't really believe God for things in his life. The picture in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, when God led his people out of Egypt, they were believers, they were God's chosen people, they were God's children, and God had for them to go into the promised land, land flowing with milk and honey, a picture of the abundant life, but they didn't go in. Why? Because they didn't believe God. They were unbelieving believers, and they ended up spending their 40 years of life wandering around in the wilderness, in the desert, till they died, all except Joshua and Caleb and the children that grew up to be adults. It's a very serious thing. So God says, watch out, be careful that you don't develop an unbelieving heart and fall away from me. Now, I want us to look at this question today. What happens if you live your life in unbelief? If you live your life as an unbelieving believer, I am convinced that churches all over America are filled with unbelieving believers. What happens if you live that way? Well, let's look from a story in the Old Testament, a picture in the Old Testament of an unbelieving believer. God doesn't even give him a name. He is the king's royal officer. And he shows us what happens when you live in unbelief. 2 Kings chapter 7. And as we begin in chapter 7, I want to give you a little bit of the background. God's people are being attacked by the Arameans. And what the Arameans did, a marauding band, huge numbers in the army of the Arameans, Ben-Hadad was their king. They came to the city of Samaria, which was the capital city of Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that split off. Samaria was their capital. Joram was their king at this time. He was the son of Ahab. This is in the 800s BC. And all the armies of the enemy are surrounding the city. They've besieged the city. Nobody can get out and nobody can come in. And there's a famine in the land of Israel. And the people are walled up in the city. And it is so bad, there's nothing to eat, nothing at all to eat. The scripture says it is so bad, the famine is so bad, that a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 shekels. 70 times more than a cup of flour would sell for in normal times, a cup of dove's dung. And then a donkey's head sold for 80 times more than the dove's dung. They're eating dove's dung and donkey heads. He said, that's bad. That's really bad. Oh, it gets worse. A lady calls for the king. She says, King, I have a real problem. She said, I was talking to a friend of mine. We're starving to death. And we decided that we would eat our children. She said, so last night or yesterday, I boiled my son and my friend and I ate him. And today we were supposed to boil her son and eat him, but she's hidden her son from me. And the king tore his clothes. He didn't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do and everything is going bad, what do you do? Well, in the Old Testament, they would blame the prophet. And he said, I am going to kill Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He's the cause of all this. He's God's representative on the earth. And God has allowed all this difficulty to come into our lives. So I'm going to kill Elisha. So he went to Elisha's house. He sent a messenger to Elisha's house. Now, Elisha was tight with God. And when things were coming upon Elisha, God would tell him, hey, this is getting ready to happen to you. And so God told Elisha, hey, the king is sending a messenger to come and kill you. He's wanting to separate your head from your body. And so be careful. And so the messenger came and Elisha said, hey, this messenger, don't let him in the house. He's trying to kill me. And the king is right behind him. So let's wait and let's talk to the king. And he begins to talk to the king. And the king says to him in verse 33, behold, this evil is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? And now listen to what Elisha says, chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The famine is going to be over just like that. And the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, ha, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? No way, Jose. That's what he said. Then Elisha said, behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. What happens when you live your life in unbelief? 3 terrible results. 3 tragedies. Tragedy number 1, you will lose sight of God's track record. You lose sight of what God has done. Now, when Elisha gave the word, it was a great word. Hey, this time tomorrow, the famine is over. The siege is going to be over. Everything is going to be back to normal. Deliverance is coming. That was all wrapped up in that phrase that, hey, flour is going to be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley to feed the animals for a shekel. You're not going to have to eat dove's dung and donkey heads anymore. It's going to be great. In 24 hours, this is all going to happen. Now, that's a great word. But the servant said, no way, that's not going to happen. And he didn't remember God's track record. See, in 2 Kings chapter 6, God had brought about a great deliverance with the Arameans. They came to kill Elisha, and the Lord struck them with blindness, and Elisha led those armies right to the king. And the Lord had delivered, and the Lord had shown his power. And all through the history of the Israelites, the Lord has shown his power. He says, look at my track record. Look at what I have done. But you know what that royal officer, you know what? He had that song in his head that so many of us sing when it comes to God. See, we forget all the things that God has done, and we just sing this song. What have you done for me lately? You ever heard that song? And some of you don't even, you've never heard the song, but you sing it all the time spiritually because you forget all the stuff that God has done. What have you done for me lately? That's the royal officer. Well, forget all this other stuff. And we forget so often God's track record. We forget what he's done. Listen, God has proven that he will come through. He's proven that. His ancient people, when they were getting ready to go into the promised land and they saw the giants and the spies came back and said, there are giants in the land. We can't go in. We need to go back to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron said, no, we're going to trust the Lord. And Joshua and Caleb says, no, we're going to trust the Lord. And they said, stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the camp. And listen to what God said in Numbers 14. How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? God says, what do I have to do to convince them that I will come through? Did they so quickly forget what happened to Egypt? Did they so quickly forget about the 10 plagues? Did they so quickly forget about the Red Sea and how I wiped out Pharaoh and his armies? God says, look at my track record. I do all these signs in their midst and they still will not believe. How quickly you and I forget what God has done. We quickly forget that he'll come through. Listen, if you're having trouble in your life today, if you're facing difficulties in your life today, if you feel all hemmed in with enemies and problems, you need to review God's track record and say the God who has delivered can still deliver. He has not lost his recipe for manna. He's a miracle-working God. He's proven that he'll come through, and he's proven that the worst of situations is not too difficult for him. The worst of situations, that's not too difficult for God. Now, I think we would all agree that if you're eating a cup of dove's dung and feasting on a donkey's head, and you have next door neighbors, women that are eating and boiling and eating their babies, it is as bad as it could possibly be. There's death all around you, and there are enemies all surrounding you. There's nowhere to go. There's no place to hide. It is bad. And in the worst of situations, God is able. God is able. The Bible says in Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. You believe that?
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and he'll return in just a moment with a personal example of how he struggled with unbelief in his own ministry. Every time we, in essence, ask God to prove that he'll come to our rescue, we are exhibiting unbelief. But the Bible says we are to believe first and see then what God will do later. It's on his timetable. But we often fear he didn't hear us or he's ignoring us. And to help us learn to not fear, but rather to believe first and believe God completely and trust him, Pastor Jeff would like to send you a copy of his 3-message series, Believe and See, as a thank you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. And with your gift, we'll also send you a bonus booklet from Pastor Jeff entitled The Divine Helper, Understanding the Mystery of the Holy Spirit. You can make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And please know that everything you give goes to help us get these messages on the air each and every day all around the world. So thank you for your gift. Call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org and request Believe and See and the booklet, The Divine Helper. Now let's get back to today's lesson entitled, Calling God a Liar, the Peril of Unbelief.
In the worst of situations, nothing is too difficult for God. I have found in my own life, I tend to struggle with believing that. I tend to limit God. I tend to look at some situations and say, well, that's impossible. When God called me into the ministry, He had worked on me for years. And there I was in sales and I was doing well, but I was restless. And I knew that God had something else for me, but I didn't know what it was. And I started to pursue, well, maybe it's real estate. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But what I really wanted deep down was to preach the gospel. I thought, well, you know, I've missed my window of opportunity for that because here I am, I'm in my 30s now and I have a wife and three kids and I can't do it. And I would tell the Lord, you know, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to leave my job and leave my income and go off to seminary with no job. I don't know how I'm going to make it financially. I said, Lord, you know, I just can't see that you can meet that need. I didn't verbalize that, but that's what I was saying to God. The Lord really spoke to my heart. And He said, look at my track record. He said, I made the heavens and the earth just by speaking it into existence. You think your piddly little $2,500 a month or $3,000 a month, whatever you need to take care of your wife and your three girls, you think that's a problem for me? Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? I said, well, if you put it that way, Lord, I guess not. I mean, I didn't even realize that I was putting a limit on God, but I was. I was disbelieving Him. I was saying, God, you're not able. Just like that royal officer said, God is not able to do this. God takes offense to that when you put a limit on Him, when you say He's not able to do. See, you and I need to constantly review God's record and remember what God has done. I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul says this, for indeed we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. What do you do when you're facing a difficulty in life? You remember that God has delivered, that God will deliver, that God will yet deliver. And you set your hope on Him. But see, when you live in unbelief, you forget all of what God has done. You lose sight of His track record.
As we've learned so vividly today, living in unbelief toward God's promises is, in essence, a lack of faith, or at best, a sort of spiritual amnesia, forgetting all that He's done for us in the past. The antidote? A constant reviewing and memorializing all His great triumphs in our life. Today's message is called Calling God a Liar, the Peril of Unbelief. And you can download a free MP3 of this broadcast or find out about the entire series from Pastor Jeff called Believing God, Expecting Miracles. And the series and the individual message are available online when you go to fromhisheart.org. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. The series is available in multiple formats. Well, our time is almost gone for this Monday broadcast, but we hope that you'll be right back here on Tuesday for part two of this powerful and insightful lesson that'll make sure that you're all aware of the peril of unbelief. Well, thanks for listening, and we invite you to be here on Tuesday when Pastor Jeff will again open God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from God's heart here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org. www.pastorjeffshreve.org.